Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. But for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all could be with us. Also, it's joining us, our online affiliates around the world. We're glad you all could benefit of this program as well. Now, this is part of our News You Can Use segment, and I am so excited to welcome author and science journalist Caroline Williams to our program. She has a fascinating new book called Move: How the New Science of Body Movement Can Set Your Mind Free. And we all know about the importance of movement, but did you realize it could also have a lot to do when it comes to your brain health as well? We'll talk to Caroline about the great research she's been able to do, how she's been able to put this in a book in a way that all of us can be able to benefit from, and of course we'll let you know how to get your own copy of it. Caroline, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me.
Oh, look, I am so glad to have you here because this is such a fascinating topic, especially as we are kicking off a brand new year. One of the big New Year's resolutions, as you know, Caroline, is people always talk about, you know, wanting to change their diet, to exercise more. And so when it comes to the idea of movement, I think a lot of times we don't think about all the different ways that we benefit from it. What has it been like for you, Caroline, to be able to expand on this idea of movement and how it does impact all of our bodies, including our brain health?
Yeah, so I sort of came at it from the other way. So for a lot of years, I've been really interested in the brain and the mind. And so as a science journalist, I've been really fascinated to get the best out of our brains. And, you know, we've got these amazing bits of kit on board. And, you know, how do we overcome the glitches that seem to come as part of that system? Things like, you know, creativity turning up when it's inconvenient, and, you know, lack of focus and anxiety and all these issues that seem to come as part of the hardware with our amazing brains. But then it sort of occurred to me that my own mind works best when I'm physically on the move. And so I started thinking, well, what's all that about then? And it very quickly became clear that thinking of our minds if they're not attached to our bodies is kind of a weird way of looking at it, because clearly our bodies are connected to our minds. It's not just a brain with a meat suit that kind of walks us about. And there are loads, I started wondering whether there were connections between the body and the mind that explained why various ways of moving help you feel better in certain ways. And so I started looking at it, and there was absolutely loads of research that hadn't really been publicized. So that's where I started.
And that is what I love, again, about the way that you kind of lay this out in such a matter-of-fact way, Caroline. And, again, it's written in such a way, and I can say to our audience because I've read the book, it's written in such a way that it's very – very easy to digest, but also very rational. In chapter 3 of the book, Caroline, Fighting Fit, one of the things that you talk about, and I love this, one of the subtopics in that chapter is You Got the Power. And I want to read a bit of it, of what you say there. You wrote this: whether you achieve a strong body via swimming, carrying rocks, or climbing on top of them, the obvious question is why physical strength should translate into mental resilience. Nailing down the exact mechanisms is tricky, partly because it's not easy to do experiments in mice and rats that are the human equivalent of weightlifting. But you go on to say, though, even so, research in humans hints that it isn't necessarily the process of building big biceps and a six-pack that confers the mental benefits. And you say in that particular subtitle that the important thing is for us to realize that we are stronger than we think we are. Do you think that is something that when people read it the way that you lay it out, they're like, oh, yeah, it's just like when I started, you know, lifting a certain weight and then I go up a little bit, you know, I'm able to make that adjustment, as you kind of allude to it in the book, on the lessening of the break, right? And we're able to do more than we thought we can. What has that been like for you to lay it out in such a way that we really think, oh, wow, I get the connection she's making there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when I'm researching this stuff, I want the answers as much as everybody else. And, right, you know, it's kind of nice to know that, you know, your body and your brain are constantly working together to get you through life with as little damage as possible and as much success as possible. And so, you know, what we think of as our strength is actually our brains being a little bit cautious because they don't want us to do too much and then injure ourselves. And so we always have this little bit of latent power. And when we start lifting or, you know, doesn't have to be lifting weights, could be body strength exercises, body weight exercises, that little bit of the, you know, the safety catch comes off a little bit. And so before, so in studies when they've looked at how people feel, how confident and resilient people feel, when they start lifting weights, before you see any changes in the muscles, you get this sense of feeling stronger. And I think that's a really nice thing. So, you know, we often think of strength as kind of having bulging biceps and looking a certain way. And it doesn't have to be like that. You know, we've probably got a lot in the tank. We just need to almost remind ourselves that it's there and start using it, because then we can build from there.
I love that. And again, I love this connection that you are able to make between our brain health and our bodies, Caroline, because there's another area of the book that, and I have to say, I think the reason why I really enjoyed this, and my regular audience will know this, Caroline, is that I'm active quite a bit of the day. I normally get between 5 and 6 hours of sleep, but I do schedule a nap in the middle of the day. And I've had people tell me, you know, you need to get 8 hours, you need 8 hours. And I love the fact that Caroline says in the book that just because someone says you're supposed to do something doesn't mean you're supposed to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I mean, we're all kind of just muddling through at the end of the day. And, you know,
right.
If something works for you, then, you know, and the, you know, the nature of scientific experiments are that they are generalizations that come from studies of large numbers of people. And so, you know, individual variation kind of gets ironed out in that, which is part of the point in having such a large group of people in a study. You want to know what the trends are. But, yeah, individually, we're all different. So, yeah, if something doesn't work for you, don't beat yourself up. Absolutely. And I'm a big, big fan of naps. I get the 7 to 9 hours sleep and like a nap. So I don't know what that says about me.
Yeah. Well, Caroline, the other thing, though, that I think is important in this conversation is we're talking about move. And I think for our audience, I hope they're seeing the connective tissue there, pun intended, is that even when you're talking about rest and sleep, the fact that you break down for us, they're not necessarily the same thing. And I think a lot of times we do, and I know I've heard it said, when people talk about getting rest, that's what they're thinking about is sleep. How has it been for you to kind of help us understand the distinction between the two?
Yeah, so I think you're right. I think people think of rest as, you know, well, if not sleep, then just kind of flopping down on the sofa and not moving. But you know, there's been only a bit of research into what rest is if we're not talking about sleep. And what's come out of that, what struck me was, if you take the statistic that the average adult spends 70% of their time sedentary, and then look at the rest research, most people think they're not getting enough rest. So to me, that suggests that whatever we're doing with our supposed rest time, when, you know, with our sedentary time, we're not finding it that restful. And some of the rest research suggests that actually active rest, you know, moving your body can actually help your mind rest. So it's almost like we need to think about rest as the other side of the coin to movement and a partner of movement, and to sort of use it smarter, because I don't think sort of lying around all evening and sitting around all day is really working. And, you know, all this sedentary time has been linked to terrifying increases in Alzheimer's risk over the lifetime and things like that. So we need to rethink movement and rethink rest.
Yeah, I think that is such a great point. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live, having a great conversation today with science journalist and author Caroline Williams. She's the author of the new book, Move, How the New Science of Body Movement Can Set Your Mind Free. Caroline, I want to ask you about the subtitle. Is it just new for us? Do you find this science? Or do you think it is really a rethinking of how we look at the connection between body movement and our minds?
It's kind of, it's new. Some of the research is incredibly new. So in the book, I talk about the research about stretching and how there's very new research looking at the effects, not on those so much on the muscles, but on the fascia, which is the sort of the slimy stuff that covers our muscles and allows them to slide around over each other. And that stretching has effects on that tissue sort of at the cellular level, which is linked to inflammation and just generally better health. So that kind of science is really, really, really new and really exciting. On the other hand, some of the stuff linking strength to confidence and self-esteem and reductions in anxiety has been around for 20 years. But where it's new and exciting to me is that all these different little areas of science are sort of, they've been chugging along. But if you look at them as a whole, you start to see a picture where having, you know, better focus or better mental health or, you know, keeping your brain healthy as we age is all linked to movement. And the fact that we're also becoming so sedentary in our society, that's what kind of made me think, right, this is the time to tell this story, because the science is getting to a point where it's all coming together, but at the same time, our society is going in the opposite direction and doing the exact opposite of what we should be doing. So yes, that's why I sort of felt that now is the time to bring all this stuff out and shout it from the rooftops as much as possible.
Yeah. Do you also find that, and I thought too, the timely nature of the book, Caroline, is because our worlds have shifted so much, right, in the past 2 years. And I think there is so much stress, so much anxiety that people are feeling. Have you found that even in, because I automatically thought about myself when I was reading the book about, wow, what a great way to be able to shift our thinking, even about the situations that we find ourselves in, to be able to think about movement, to enjoy movement, and even taking things like, as you mentioned, the breathing and being able to really be able to take that in and to be able to help us with that. Have you found there a connection with your readers there as well?
Yeah, I think I think it's a bit of a mixed bag with, you know, changes that have come with the pandemic. A lot of people are working at home, which does, you know, in some ways it's freed people up. So, you know, I've worked at home for a really long time, so not much has changed for me. But my husband, for example, was spending 2 hours or if not more on a train each day. And now he goes out with the dog, and, you know, so you can build a bit more movement into your day a bit more easily. Plus things like, one of the big things that I've done, which isn't that big in the grand scheme of things, is rather than sitting at my desk all day, I can sort of sit on the floor or take a little squat on my haunches and just build in a little bit more body movement, because if you're working at home, no one's looking at you, and it's fine. If you're taking calls on the phone anyway, rather than having face-to-face meetings, you can do that anywhere whilst walking around or standing or whatever. So in some ways, it sort of freed us a little bit from the chains of these sort of very sedentary lives that we were living by default. But on the other hand, you know, if you don't have to go out your house and you don't have to go to the office and walk between rooms, that can make things more sedentary as well. So I think it's been a little bit of a mixed bag for people. But what I hope is that people have found that this period, when everything's been so weird, and at least in the UK, there was times when the only time you were allowed outside of the house was to go and do some exercise outdoors. So lots of people were going out for walks. And I like to think that people started, you know, the penny started to drop. Hey, I feel much better after an hour in the fresh air walking than I did before. And so it kind of provides a nice neat before and after of what a bit of movement that's well-timed can actually do for us.
Love that. Love that. Such great tips here and such great information, Caroline. And the other thing that I love is, as you talk about in the book, is the earlier the better, right? We know that that's true for so many things in life. And really, I think changing the way that we look at movement and the importance and power of it, definitely with those that are young, is so important. What is your hope, Caroline, whether we're talking about a parent who's looking for things they can be able to share with themselves as well as their family, or just individuals like myself, you know, people who are working from home and may find themselves more stagnant? What do you hope a book like Move does in being able to make them and shift in the way they look at not only movement, but also the connection to mental health?
Yeah, so I think one really important thing is to just get this idea out there that we are not just a brain on legs, and that exercise isn't, a physical activity isn't just about the body. You know, we have this separation between what goes on in our head and what goes on in our bodies. And also that activity isn't about how you look or, you know, weight or, you know, looking a certain way or joining a certain club or being a gym bunny or joining a sport. You know, just that it can really change your life from the inside. So moving for the way it feels, and then whatever happens on the outside, then that's a bonus. But But just this idea that we're doing it for ourselves, I think that's a bit of a shift in certainly I think for women, you know, for a long time there was a lot of, you know, the idea of exercise was to look a certain way. And now I think that's kind of shifting a little bit and people are thinking, I want to do something for how I feel. But I hope that for everybody and for kids, I really hope that that message hits them when they're young enough for it to kind of become part of their life. Because at the moment, it's very possible to go through school and come out the other end and not realize that there's a form of movement that works for you and makes you feel great and you can keep up for that for your whole life. So there's more to this than just team sport or athletics or these very sort of formal ways of moving that we teach kids. So I hope that there's more to give for children and then that they can take that through their whole life. Because if you start them young, it becomes a habit and then there's no need to take anything up when you're in your middle age.
Yeah, I love that. And Caroline, what I thought about too as you were just talking is, you know, for some of the individuals that I follow online that are really big into fitness, they do talk about that mind-body connection and how it really mm-hmm. does help to bring them to center. It's not just about what it does to themselves physically. So I think that's a great thing for all of us to think about, whether we are, you know, looking for something that is going to be something that we can do to be able to improve a certain area of our lives, just knowing the daily benefit that it has for us, I think, is so important. Again, everyone, Caroline Williams has been our guest. The book is called Move, How the New Science of Body Movement Can Set Your Mind Free. It is available through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite local bookstore if they don't have it. I know they would be more than happy to order it for you. And Caroline, how can our audience stay connected with you?
Well, they can head to my website, which is carolinewilliams.net. And I'm on Instagram, carolinewilliams_science. So if you want to come over and say hi, it'd be lovely to see people.
All right. Caroline, thank you so much for writing this book and for the great conversation today. I really appreciate the time.
Well, thank you so much for reading it and for talking to me. It's been lovely.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all ours, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and let's go make today amazing. Take care.